in a Kitchen talks about food. Donald in a Kitchen talks recipes. Donald in a Kitchen talks about lots of other things on Community Radio. Welcome to the Donald in a Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We get together here once a week. And thank you for joining us around our kitchen table. We talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. And this is Community Radio. We get by with a little help from our friends.
Oh, yes. The Donald in a Kitchen show is sponsored in part by Practical Farmers of Iowa, a member-based, farmer-led, nonprofit organization that has been strengthening farms and communities through farmer-led investigations and information sharing since 1985. You can find out more at their website, www.practicalfarmers.org.
Yes, we do, and we do thank them, and thank you for being our listeners. This is Community Radio, and we get to do what we like best. We get to talk about all the things we enjoy, which are food and growing things. And I like cooking in the kitchen, but I'm also a farmer, and Donna's a chef, and we talk food here. So, there's much to celebrate. Many people on this planet this time of year are thinking, New Year's, New Year's. I know some of us are.
There's a lot of these midwinter holidays.
Right, right. Time
almost
to celebrate.
Everybody needs to break the winter up with a holiday.
Right. Actually, Lunar New Year. It's coming. It's coming. And Mardi Gras is this time of year. Fat Tuesday. What a good
one. And tomorrow's Ash Wednesday.
Ash Wednesday. Huh? And that's a countdown to Easter and Passover. We'll learn more today about the Lunar New Year and Valentine's Day. And Donna has a fine recipe for us, a sweet for your sweet on Valentine's Day. But first, to set the mood for your Valentine, here is a poem by Robert Burns. A red, red rose. Oh, my love's like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. My love's like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. As fair art thou, my bonny lass, so deep in love am I will love thee still, my dear, till all the seas gang dry. Till all the seas gang dry, my dear, and the rocks melt with the sun. Oh, I will love thee still, my dear, when the sands of life shall run. And fare thee weel, O my only love, and fare thee weel a while, and I will come again, my love, though it were 10,000 mile.
Oh, bravo. That's Lana being a Scotsman. I love it. Oh, another talented person.
I tried. I just read what was written here. You know, it's kind of got, we're 10,000 mile. Yes, it were. And the seas gang dry.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. You're still inspired by the Robert Burns dinner a few weeks ago.
I am. You know, how lovely. We have that kind of thing in our heritage. We have lots of things in our heritage. And joining us here in the kitchen today is someone we've gotten to know, and she's become invaluable to us. We have interns here, and an intern has joined us. She's kind of latched herself on
from the us. From the Iowa Journalism Department at ISU. Yeah.
Felix Nguyen is going to talk about Lunar New Year.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Today I'm talking about Vietnamese New Year, which is a subsection of Lunar New Year. You know, everybody or most Southeast Asian countries celebrate Lunar New Year because of the farming cycles that they had. So,
is the year of the
dog, actually.
Yes, the
yes.
dog.
Yes, okay. I remember because my brother was actually born in that year. So now he's 22 and he's old. But yes, so it's a very fun time because it's not necessarily about renewing crops. It's more about bringing together family. And
it's your big deal holiday,
yeah,
like our
it's
Christmases,
the biggest
right?
holiday.
Everybody goes home to visit their
yes.
family.
The country actually shuts down for a couple of days. It's a three-year holiday, or not a three-year, a three-day holiday.
Oh, a three-day holiday. That
yes.
would be fun.
So everybody takes a break. They go to visit their friends and family because it's the beginning of a new year, which means that anything you do during these 3 days kind of sets a tone for the rest of the year. So you want to be doing things that...
So that's like resolutions, kind
yes.
of.
Yes. Yes, you want
to
be doing everything.
You have to act actually act them out.
Yes, which is why
good idea.
You're supposed to go and visit family that you want to see, not family you don't want to see, you know, friends you want to see. Some people actually want to work on these days because it means they'll have a job for the entire year. So I'm actually working for two of the days, which is fun, maybe unfortunate, but it means I will be, you know,
gainfully employed.
Good for you. So,
I have a question about this. The year of the dog here. Mm-hmm. Is the year of the dog? Are there certain characteristics that make this year special because there's a dog as its totem or as its
Oh, well, according to my mother, I don't know if she's the extreme expert on this, but
this is the source of all wisdom.
It is true.
Mothers.
Just like in Western culture, dogs are kind of a sign of faithfulness and loyalty. So hopefully this year we'll have a lot of good bonding with each other.
And boy, do we need it just in time.
We do.
Right.
Just in time.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
So you're going to have a little Lunar New Year party?
I am. So to set up for Lunar New Year, the day before, you want to set up an offering table with various things on it. And so even if you aren't necessarily religious in Vietnamese New Year or Vietnamese culture, you would still set up a table because you're not really inviting a particular – it's not quite a religious thing. It's kind of a good
cultural
thing.
Like Santa Claus hats and Christmas trees. And
So you set up these things and you try and invite good spirits in to bless your household. And even though I don't live with my family, I still bring my roommates into this. We still set up a table. We pray a little bit. And we just ask, you know, for these spirits to come in and take care of our household. So it's a lot of food that you set up. The most notable thing is a 5-fruit plate. You want to have 5 different fruits that are different colors because they symbolize the different elements. So that would be metal, wood, fire, water, and earth. So you have different ones. Usually people use really beautiful tropical fruits. So this
year, not easy to find in Iowa.
Yeah, depending. I've had some luck with things like pineapples. I found a coconut, which is very exciting. Watermelons, cantaloupes. I like to have smaller ones like tangerines or apples because that makes it easier to build a kind of a pyramid base.
Oh, it has to be arranged artfully.
Yes. You don't have to, depending on where you're from, actually, whether you're from the north, south, center of the country, some areas don't really care about the presentation. It's more about just having it. And then other places are like, it has to be beautiful. It has to be perfect. I just like it to look nice because it sits on my table for 3 days. So, and
it's
I like to take pictures.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So aside from that, you also need a kind of an overflowing cup of uncooked rice and then also a cup of salt. And so those are really the only 3 things that are required. You can also add a lot of other things, which people do because, you know, it's the more stuff you have, obviously, the more good fortune you can bring into your household. But those are really all you need.
So mention the 5 elements again, and they are represented by color, really.
Yes.
Mention the 5 elements.
Yeah,
again.
Those elements are metal, wood, water, fire, and earth. And I actually don't know which color necessarily matches with the elements, but I do know not everybody is so fortunate in Vietnam to have access to all of these things. So if you have any 5 colors, I think that's still good enough because it's really about the mental energy that you're putting into this, you know?
Right.
Intention.
Yes.
Right. It's like thinking,
like all ceremonies.
It's like thinking of often in Native American thought, you think of the 4 directions, the 5 directions, including up and down. You putting your mind to think of these things. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's kind of it just means that anyone can participate, which is nice. And then other things that I have added are cups of tea. I usually have chrysanthemum tea on hand, and that really looks very lovely next to things. Fresh flowers are really nice. Lilies especially are really pretty. What else? Candles. You always want to have a little bit of incense sticks because those are what you use when you pray and you say your little prayer. You get 3 of them, you burn them, and you bow. And
is this a Buddhist tradition?
It is a little Buddhist. You know, Vietnamese people are Buddhist. Mm-hmm. So I like to pray a little bit because I am Buddhist, but it's really more, again, a gesture of intention that we want these spirits in this household. Please come take care of us for the year, you know? And then there are some traditional foods that people will also leave out, like banchung, which is a sticky rice roll. It is filled with bananas, although sometimes it is also filled, not also, but it can be filled with meat and beans. And the history of this one is very interesting because you're not supposed to cook during these 3 days.
Oh.
Right. So people prepare food ahead of time because you should be spending those 3 days, you know, visiting family, you know, spending the time in your household, doing all those things you want to make sure are so, happening.
So it's like a Sabbath.
Yes.
You don't work
a little bit
on that day. Mm-hmm. So everything has to be done in advance.
Yes. So that can be good or bad, kind of bad for me. I don't think I'll be able to participate in that this year. I don't have the space to store all that food. But a lot of the foods that are traditional for New Year's are these long-lasting foods because they have to last for these couple of days. So the rice roll is actually wrapped in banana leaves. It's steamed, so it lasts for a very long time, like a lot of other Vietnamese foods do. And the story behind it is actually very interesting. There's a little folklore story behind it. Apparently, a king had so many children, more than 10, you know, they all wanted to be the next royalty, the next ruler. And so he said to them, "We are coming up on New Year, so why don't you all bring something for me and, you know, be a part of this feast, and I will choose based on what you bring." So all of these other siblings bring these beautiful things like pheasants, you know, peacocks, these really beautiful exotic dishes. And the youngest son brings banchung, and it's just the simple meal. It's rice, it's bananas, it's something that everybody in Vietnam has access to. And the king says, "Of course I'll choose you because, you know, you care about the people who live here because, you know, you chose something that anyone can make and anyone can enjoy." So
the moral of the story, that's what good governance is about.
I know.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Care about the little people.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. That's a good
yeah.
tip. That's a good And do you make this dish too? Mm-hmm. You make the sticky bun?
It's kind of difficult to make. I will say that. You have to have a steamer, and I don't have a steamer. And these are usually very big logs, you know, that they'll sell. They're like about a foot long. Let's see, like.
So what do? Slice it off and serve it?
Yes, you actually slice them. And they're these really lovely little rounds where they have the very dense kind
everything
of green
rolled,
sticky
yeah.
rice, right? Yeah. And then there's like the meat or bananas in the middle. So it's very lovely to kind of present and eat. And it's kind of a contained meal too because it's rice, you know, it's whatever topping. And I like that a lot. Another thing that is very aesthetically beautiful is soygak, which is red sticky rice.
Oh.
And so it is actually flavored with young jackfruit, which is very trendy right now. You know,
yes, it is.
All those fun,
it's the latest
vegan
new
recipes.
Tropical food being imported.
Yeah. Really? Well, we've been using it since forever, so you can mm-hmm. thank the Vietnamese for that one. But
so what makes the red rice red?
I believe it is actually
the
young jackfruit.
Oh, the jackfruit makes it red?
And that's how you know that it is, well, the way you know is because it'll be a little mottled. The color won't be as thorough.
Oh, okay.
Because it is a natural coloring. But
And where do you buy jackfruit in Ames?
I have no idea. I think you can buy it frozen if you ask real
yes.
nicely. Mm-hmm. Generally, you can see it in cans. I have never seen a fresh jackfruit in Iowa.
I don't know what a fresh jackfruit looks. Is it a tree fruit?
Yes, it's mm-hmm. this huge spiky fruit.
Oh!
Very big. They usually sell them frozen. And don't drop one on your head. Very dangerous.
Oh, coconut-ish like. Even bigger.
Yes,
bigger.
Yeah, but they've got spikes on them.
Spikes!
They're
kind of
shaped like a big jelly bean.
Spike.
Big
oh,
spiky
yeah.
jelly bean. Then you crack it open and then there's this really beautiful, sweet yellow fruit inside. I'm not sure what a young jackfruit looks like, but the flesh of that is much, you know, firmer. Mm-hmm. It's much more like a meat, which
yeah.
is bizarre.
People do,
but, you know,
suggest that jackfruit can be a vegetarian substitute for
yes.
meat.
Really?
I mean, I have read that. Okay, I have not done it.
The word fruit is in. Mm-hmm. It's a sweet. It's a sweet.
Well,
not
the
terribly.
Mature fruit.
Okay,
is
mature.
Sweet.
Okay.
But
go.
The young fruit, actually, and I forgot this existed until my mom told me, but there is like a very traditional dish that is clams mixed with this chopped up young jackfruit, and you eat it with these kind of sesame chips. And that's really good. It's very savory, so
savory,
that's one way
huh?
to eat it.
Very good.
I forgot that existed, so I guess I'm on the train of the savory jackfruit.
Very good.
Apparently you can get it in Ames, or I think somebody's making a savory jackfruit sandwich, so I'd like to try it, but unsure about it.
Well, when you find the source of that, you will let us know.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
We'll do a taste test. Yeah. Another food that I personally do not enjoy, but my mother very much enjoys, is it's tit dum, I believe. Now, if you are Vietnamese and you're listening to me pronounce this, I'm very sorry. It's a jellied pork. And it's kind of reminiscent of those, you know, if you look in vintage cookbooks, all those jellied tureens.
Oh, mm-hmm. right. And yes. How's it flavored? I can relate to this dish. tell me.
No, I think the texture is bizarre, but it's this, you make kind of a pork bone broth, or mm-hmm. I believe, actually, no. Is it pork? Yes, it's pork.
Yeah, well, cooking, mm-hmm. like, especially if you throw in a foot, you will end up with
yes.
consommé jellied.
Yes.
Yes.
So you make this kind of jellied consistency. I believe you add a little bit of gelatin, but I don't think you need to because you are cooking these
maybe
bones
if
for
you
so
can't
long.
Find the foot, you know?
Yes.
Okay.
So you drain that, and then you also cook in these very lovely pieces, very fatty pieces of food, and then you decorate a container with, like, carrot flowers and things like that, and then you pour everything in. So when you flip it out, you get this really beautiful little jellied cake of, like, meat. And it's very savory and neat, and I do not like it, but my mother loves it. She
oh,
can't
goody.
Find
have
it anywhere.
Have her send the recipe. I want to know what seasonings it might have in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good. Eating aspic or mm-hmm. these jellied meats, it's a learned taste.
Yes.
And when I first
Felix,
encountered
it's very nutritious.
It's really good.
But gelatin's very good for you.
Yeah, my first encounter with such was skepticism, I must say, but I like that kind of stuff.
I don't know.
Stuff,
I think I just grew up with so much stuff like that. It never even occurred to me that this was odd.
Well, it's yeah. not odd. You're just no. with it. I mean, you know about jackfruit, and now you know about yeah. this stuff,
well,
too.
Jackfruit is a new layer. Yeah. But
give us the name of this, even if you say your
yeah.
Vietnamese isn't
it's
very good.
Tit dum. So that's T-H-I-T, and then the second word is D-O-N-G. And so when you look it up. It'll have different accent marks, which I cannot pronounce, but you will find it because it is this very, they'll have this picture of this like little cake of, you know, gelatin and flowers and pork, and you'll be like, what is that? It's meat. It's delicious, according
so
to my mother.
How big do they make them? Like 2 inches across? Three inches?
They're not too big. They're yeah. 2-3 inches.
Little individual portions. Oh,
yes.
Yum.
Yeah. So.
Oh, get your mother on that recipe.
They're okay. very neat. They're very okay. lovely. So, yeah. And then my favorite dish, it is a very regular dish that people eat all the time. So it's not limited to New Year's, but it's called tit ca. And that is caramelized pork butt with eggs kind of cooked in a brown sugar coconut juice sauce.
Ooh.
Fantastic.
Ooh.
If I weren't sick, I would have made this for you today. But it's a very comforting meal. Consider it my own version of chicken noodle soup, except, you know, it's meat and uh-huh. eggs. But you actually cook the meat in this broth and you caramelize it. It turns into this really gorgeous, like, brown color, you know. But it's still got that kind of fat rind on the end, so you get that as well. And the tendons are very tender. It's very melt in your mouth. And then you boil these eggs and you let them soak into this mixture. So
oh, boiled eggs before.
Yes.
Oh.
So you put hard-boiled eggs into the oh. mm-hmm. meat
yes.
mixture.
So you don't actually take the shells off. You can cut them in half if you want to. But the sauce will soak into these eggs, so you get these kind of lovely flavorful eggs with this really lovely tender pork piece.
And how do you season the pork?
The way Vietnamese people generally do things, they add layers on seasonings. Let me see.
It's all about the seasonings. You know?
It really
it
is.
Really good. Oh,
is
yes.
it spicy?
It isn't spicy. It's actually kind of sweet in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can pull up a example recipe. My mother won't send me hers yet.
Oh,
it's her secret.
I love it.
Secrets. Oh, dear.
It's not a secret. But,
how does
you know.
She expect you to carry on these traditions if she doesn't train you?
Because she doesn't like to write things down, or she does, but some of these are just so complicated. You know, they have so many steps, which is why.
Oh, you're supposed to be with her and yes. learn to do it that way.
Yes. So I'll stand that. And I'll write it that. Down. When she comes, maybe I'll bring her on. But
oh, that would be fun.
There is a very specific kind of coconut soda that you use. It's Rico coconut soda. It's
coconut soda.
Yes. So it's coconut water or coconut juice, but with I've always used. It. Yes.
Okay.
And you wouldn't drink this. Nobody has ever drank this as a drink.
Oh.
But Vietnamese people use it as a base for cooking a lot of things.
Is it salty or something?
It's just not very tasty as a drink. It's not sweet. It has like a neutral coconut flavor. Mm-hmm. But it isn't something you'd want to drink, you know. So that, you always add fish sauce. You add some soy sauce. What else do you add? And then I believe you add... I forget the name of it, but it is this kind of a dark color of sauce. What is it called? I can't.
Miso?
It's not hoisin sauce, but
miso.
It's not miso either.
Something.
But, something in that direction.
Something in that direction.
Oh, okay.
I believe it is a bean sauce. Yes,
oh, bean?
But
oh, sure.
Somewhere in that direction.
It's a. It's not turmeric, but it's those
tamarind.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of that.
It's the nuts.
Mm-hmm. Tamarind.
Yes.
Okay, so that's a little sour.
Yes, and then you also add in rock salt, which is how you get that caramelized color. Mm. And Vietnamese people use a lot of rock salt in their
really?
Food.
Really?
Yes.
Very so, good. And is this okay? I picture this as a sort of
a pot of something.
A pot yes. of something.
Yes.
Is this eaten with rice or
yes.
do you just dive in?
You eat it with rice. It's a little too salty to eat by itself, although I have done so on occasion. Mm-hmm. A little bit of salt is okay. Not great for you, but it is very delicious. And, yeah, you eat it with rice. Sometimes a lot of Vietnamese food is eaten also with, a clear vegetable broth alongside it, and that kind of helps cleanse your palate a little bit. That'll have, spring onions in it or something.
Ooh.
Yeah, so.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Yum.
When the visiting that happens mm-hmm. during the new year, do you show up at other folks' houses and you share the food that you've made?
Yeah.
Is that
well,
the idea?
Or it's not? Funny because there's actually very strict traditions on that.
I would imagine so.
So the first day is the most important day, right? So this Friday, it's a day where you really do not want to do anything you don't want to happen for the entire year. So you're not allowed to go to other people's houses.
Oh?
People, unless you're invited.
Okay.
That's different. But if you show up to somebody's house unannounced, they probably won't let you in.
Because they don't want somebody moving in, right?
Exactly. Or what if, you're not that close or you don't like each other too much and you show up, they are not going to let you in at all. Even if they like you, sometimes that's just... Do you want to have your good friend over all the time, or do you want to have your mom over? Who do you prioritize?
Well, that's a dangerous question these days.
I know, nowadays, but it's kind of you have to pick and choose because,
because that day is very important mm-hmm. as to what happens. Oh, my
yes.
goodness. Okay.
And then the days after, of course, you'll go visit people. It is about celebrating with friends and family, so usually people have parties and things like that. Really important is the little red envelopes that you give to children.
Oh,
the
Lisi packets. What is this? Sounds like a Valentine.
Yeah.
What is it?
They're called Lisi. So they are these really decorated, pretty red envelopes. And then people will slip some money in and give it to children.
Oh, money. Yes. Okay, money.
So it's not a card, but it's kind of for, kids to have
good
a little
fortune,
bit of money,
yeah.
good fortune. Usually they'll give it in $2 bills. New $2 bills because they're very lucky. That's a lucky number. And then, you get a little bit of spending money. You get to spend it on firecrackers and things like that. Very fun. Or if you're like me, you spend it on textbooks. So
very good.
Yeah. It's not really about making money because usually how this usually works, at least in most families I've seen, sure, you give another kid's family $20, but they also give your kid $20. So it's
the
an
kids
even
make
exchange.
Out.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
okay.
It's all even exchange. So it's very nice. But,
well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
3 days of nonstop partying.
Basically. And just
all right.
prioritizing the family and trying to get those resolutions kind of set and good. So
good.
And then the celebration will usually last pretty long after that, too.
Good.
Yeah.
So is there special music or songs or
yeah.
Do people parade? I mean, it seems like you should have a parade.
Firecrackers. Oh, firecrackers, you know? Too? Oh. Yeah, they'll do fireworks, which are, you know, the big ones. And then little kids play with these little poppers that'll, you throw them at the ground, they pop, or the little ones that you light, and then they are kind of a stream.
Yeah, the kinds that go bang, 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 bang.
Very fun. You want lights, you want noise. People go to parades, they do lion dances.
Oh, tell us about the lion dance. That sounds lovely.
It's a very fun kind of tradition where I believe it's Buddhist martial arts students usually, because they're the only ones strong enough to do this. They'll get into these lion costumes. They require 2 to 3 people, and they have to hold each other up and do these fun dances, and then they collect money for the temple. So things like that. There's a lot of great drumming. It's super fun. I think they're doing something like that in Des Moines.
Oh,
so
good.
If you have the time, you should go out there.
There are some lion dances around, too, because I was part of a parade that had some. Mm-hmm. And, yes, the young men that were underneath this wonderful lion costume, it wasn't just, you know, a guy walking around with a head and another guy for a butt. Mm-hmm. No. They would get to it, and the front person would get on the shoulders of the back person, so the lion is up in the air, growling at you. It was quite nice. And drumming. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Cool.
This is KHOI Community Radio, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen. This is Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa.
Yeah, we just did a little armchair traveling. I like that.
Back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen, and we are celebrating Vietnamese Lunar New Year with Felix Nguyen. She's our intern. She is delightful. And she's been telling us about what goes on in her family and traditionally in her culture, all kinds of food and fruit and things that we think, well, I'd like to try someday. Yes, I would. So, Felix, how are you going to be celebrating specifically here in Ames?
The Lunar New Year in Iowa. Okay, what are you doing?
Yeah, unfortunately, there aren't a lot of big parades in Ames, and it's a little too snowy for me to go to Des Moines to celebrate with everybody else. But this year, I want to do a little party with my friends, not during the New Year's, probably the weekend after, because that's when we all have the time to hang out. But just making a lot of food. I will have my own offering table with maybe some more local fruits, but still some pineapples and coconuts. So those will be some lovely centerpieces. And then I'll be making spring rolls, or similar to spring rolls. They're not, they don't have noodles in them though, so they're not technically spring rolls. They're called bia. And usually they have things like Vietnamese sausage in them, and then you chop up little vegetables very finely.
What's Vietnamese sausage like?
Amazing.
It's pork, right?
Yes.
Oh, amazing. If you ever That's a good start.
See something, it's got this little red label on it. I think it might be in Chinese, actually, but it's Vietnamese sausage.
And it comes, you know that. How do you get it here? Frozen or something at the Asian store?
No, it's kind of like a, not freeze-dried, but, you know, it's like a, all the air
shelf
pulled out of it.
Oh, vacuum-packed, yes. Shelf-stable. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Amazing. It's the kind of little pieces of sausage you might see in, like, really nice fried rice, if you've ever had those little slanted round pieces. It's this very, very salty, very flavorful piece of sausage. It's kind of ugly and wrinkled in the packaging, but if you ever have the time, fry a little bit of onions, make some fried rice, add some Vietnamese sausage, and that's amazing. But yes, you can fry those up and you put them in these little bobia rolls, and alongside carrots, little pieces of celery, kind of fresh
Wait,
vegetables.
Wait, what are you wrapping them in?
And they're all going to be in the spring roll wrappers.
That's the
rice paper.
Rice paper thing.
Yes.
Right, okay.
So kind of difficult to roll because they don't have that.
We're not talking like a Chinese egg roll. This is the much more lightweight, almost transparent, translucent rice wrappers.
Yes. And for those, actually, you have to dip into water so that they get malleable, and then you can roll them. And then they'll get to a very soft consistency, and they'll stay up like that. Good. So very good, actually. And then you eat those with a lot of fresh herbs, like mint. It's really just mint and
basil.
Yes. So things like that. You can also eat it with rice, but you probably don't need to because it's wrapped in a rice wrapper. I'll probably also be making a soup called... Now, again, if you're Vietnamese, don't call the station to laugh at me. It is called Bun Bo Wei, and it is a pork and beef-based soup. You have these little meatballs in there, and what's very fun is that it also has these... blood sausage cubes. It's gelatinized blood.
Huh?
So you cut it into little cubes and you put it in, and it helps flavor the soup. Mm-hmm. And then it's also flavored with, you know, mint and basil and all those typical Vietnamese things. And then...
Is your mother sending these things through the mail to you?
Sometimes I can find them here. I have to drive a little bit. I probably will not have any blood cubes in mine because my friend will not eat it. She has said she refuses to try it. That's okay.
Well,
and, you know.
Well, you can make it for us sometime. We'll try anything.
Yeah, if I can find it. I got to find some somebody who will deal me some blood, I guess.
Yeah.
But that, what else is in there? It is also flavored with kind of a shrimp paste sometimes, and then a lot of chili flakes and things like that. It's very much a spicy soup.
Ooh.
So... And then you serve that on top of vermicelli noodles.
Ah,
yeah.
Sounds delicious.
Fantastic. One of my favorite things. My mom actually did not make this when I was growing up because she cannot eat spicy food. So this was not a dish she could eat, but I can and I like it.
You so, can and you do.
Yeah. Do you recommend
it? Good for you. Good for you.
I believe the Vietnamese restaurant in Des Moines... I forget the name. Is it Adong or something like that? Mm-hmm. They have it there. I haven't tried it yet, but everybody recommends it.
Oh, yes, I have heard we have a very authentic, good Vietnamese restaurant in Des Moines. Do you know where it is?
I don't know where it is. Probably around the main area.
Right, just Google Vietnamese restaurant Des Moines. See what happens.
Adong.
Right?
Adong. 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 Yes. It is sort of downtown, and I'm a terrible one for directions, but
Let
I think
see.
Even I could find it. So it's not too far
been
from
once.
To the Gateway Market area.
Yeah.
It
might
MLK.
Be on the north side
one of those,
235 or something like that.
One of those. Who knows? But
worth a trip to Des Moines.
Very
good. And nice to go with a group of friends.
Yes. There are so many dishes.
Yeah.
very authentic as a Vietnamese person who grew up in, you know, the Bay Area surrounded by Vietnamese cuisine. That is an authentic Vietnamese restaurant looking at its menu because it has about 20 pages, 8 million little sections that are like, you want rice? You want broken rice? You want noodle soup? You want beef? You want pork? They always break it down. They have a drink section. Try some Vietnamese drinks. I promise you, you'll enjoy it. But
very good.
Yeah, the bigger the menu, the more Vietnamese it is.
Oh.
That's how it always
See?
Is.
See? That's good to know. Always be inclusive here. Oh, so I mentioned before that there's lots of different things going on. There's the Lunar New Year, but it's also Valentine's
Yes,
Day.
Yes, our very own uber-sentimental,
right, what kind of
non-denominational holiday.
I was talking with Felix before. If there's something similar to Valentine's Day.
Red envelopes, maybe.
Well, red envelopes. But and you said, not really. What was your response to me was?
Yeah, we don't have a particular day that I know of that Vietnamese people celebrate love on, but as a lot of Southeast Asian cultures are, it's very action-based. So if you love somebody, do something for them, you know?
And other-oriented, yeah.
Yes.
Ah, very good.
Whereas here, we have to have a day, one day a year where you think of the people
chocolate.
That you care about, and it's not about yourself.
It's like Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yes.
Well, so here's to all of you out there. Find yourself a American Valentine here, and we'll get along just fine. Thanks for all that good stuff about Vietnam. We'll ask you more about Vietnam a little later. Let's keep, we'll do a little love poem here. I mean, why not? We'll do a little love poem, come back, and Donna will talk about something about Valentine's Day in a bit. Here is another poem by a poet named Steve Scafidi. It's called A Prayer for a Marriage. I like it because it's set in a kitchen, a prayer for a marriage. When we are old one night and the moon arcs over the house like an antique china saucer and the teacup sun follows somewhere far behind, I hope the stars deepen to a shine so bright you can read by it. If you liked and sadness we will have known will go away for a while. In this hour or two before we sleep and we kiss in the kitchen, not fighting gravity so much as embodying its sweet force. And I hope we kiss like we do today, knowing so much good is said in this primitive tongue. From the wild first surprising kisses to the lower dizzy 10,000 infinitely slower ones. And I hope while we stand here in the kitchen making tea and kissing, the whistle of the teapot wakes the neighbors. That was a poem for a marriage in honor of Valentine's Day by a poet named Steve Scafidi. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen, and this is KHOY 89.1. Think a little bit more about Valentine's Day. How about a sweet for your sweet? Donna, what do you have there?
I was kind of pondering over, you know, there's all the usual chocolate things, and I thought, oh, what about, let's do a pot au creme. And then I went, no, I want to do butterscotch.
Oh.
So as a kid, and you guys probably did, it was my favorite kind of pudding. Even, you know, you had those Jell-O boxed mixtures. And there were two butterscotch ones, one that was absolutely instant. You just stir the milk in and let it sit, or the kind that you cook. obviously the kind that you cook tasted a little better than the instant one, but I was a huge butterscotch pudding fan, and I still am. So there's in L.A., there's an Italian restaurant, and it's owned by a chef who has been a pastry chef for a long time, Nancy Silverton, and she is famous for the budino, B-U-D-I-N-O, which is merely the Italian word for pudding. And I love a pudding. So I was looking at the recipe on I found it online on the Sivura site, and I decided I was going to make the budino to bring it in for the show, and I kept reading it. So it goes something like 3 cups of heavy cream. It's really, really rich. And so I thought, oh, my goodness, as much as I love pudding, I know I'm going to eat all of this myself.
we're here for you, Dad. Yeah, we're here. So, all of us here.
Yeah, we had to save me a little bit. It was just like a mercy change in the recipe. So I looked at Nancy's recipe, and then I got out my joy of cooking, right? And under the section that has the blancmange recipe, which is just a vanilla, that means white eating, right? Kind of, it's the regular cornstarch vanilla pudding, and under that there's a caramel version. So I thought, and it's milk, or even 2% milk. Same things, you know, eggs, milk, cornstarch, the usual mm-hmm. thing.
But why don't you read the original budino recipe and then.
Well, the technique for both of them
is the same. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, to get the caramel butterscotch flavor, you actually melt sugar. So I was doing that, but I just used white sugar, which is what the joy of cooking went. But I see that Nancy calls for brown sugar, dark brown sugar. And then she also puts rum in it, which I think was a really, really good idea. I should have combined the two recipes a little bit more. So you melt the sugar, and then you have a double boiler, or a pan of water with a metal bowl over it, right? So I'm warming the milk in the double boiler while I'm caramelizing the sugar. Okay. And it's caramelizing sugar is kind of fun.
Yeah, it has no water, no butter.
No, you don't put you don't put that in. The joy of cooking recipe was just melt the sugar in a heavy bottom non-ferrous pan, right?
Uh-huh.
Because, don't use your cast iron skillet for that.
No, that'll make an absolute mess. Yeah.
Although, as I was doing it, it reminds me of my nut brittle recipe, which I do use my cast iron skillet for. So anyway, so you just let the sugar, and it sits there for a while as the pan is heating, and then all of a sudden it starts to get a little liquid, and then you keep stirring, and then it melts.
It is magic.
I know. It's really, really an interesting process.
Don't let it burn.
Yeah, and you have to watch the color. I'm going to try doing it with brown sugar next time, I think. That sounds really interesting to me. And then for the joy of cooking recipe, towards the end, when it's very melted and, not – it's smooth, right? You pour in slowly because some very hot water. Not much. This was – I think it was like a cup of sugar and then a quarter cup of hot water at the end. And the water, like, sputters. So you have to go really, really easily. But that thins the caramel out.
Okay.
So I had the caramel, and then you put it into the milk. Into the warming milk that's on the double boiler.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's what gives you your butterscotch flavor.
That's the butterscotch flavor.
Yeah. Okay. Now Nancy has added, that's where she put the rum to make it darker. I also couldn't resist throwing in a little ground coriander. I find that goes really well with butterscotch. And I put a pinch of pepper in it, too. So then it's just your regular cornstarch pudding. You know, you stir the milk until it gets till all of the caramel is dissolved into it, and then you have another bowl with a little bit more milk or cream that you've dissolved the cornstarch in.
Now, when you had this other bowl that you kind of pre-testing your cornstarch in, is that caramel? I mean, is that milk as hot as what you've got in the other?
No,
bowl?
No. You have to put the cornstarch into cold milk.
Okay,
and get it really dissolved. Milk. Otherwise, you get lots of lumps.
Okay,
you know,
this is a little cold milk.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's used just to dissolve the cornstarch. I think in the Joy of Cooking, it was like 4 tablespoons of cornstarch, and the total milk was like four cups probably liquid. So a tablespoon of cornstarch per cup of liquid. Of course, I enlarged the recipe because I knew I couldn't not eat tons of it. So then you have your cornstarch slurry and you pour it in the double boiler and just keep cooking, regular pudding kind of recipe. Eggs. That's the other step.
Yeah.
Now, in Nancy's recipe, she mixes the cornstarch into the eggs, which I have never done. In the Joy of Cooking recipe, it's the cornstarch in the milk that goes in. You cook it a little while. Then you've got two well-beaten eggs. And then, of course, you have to – well, with both of these, when you're mixing either the cornstarch or the egg mixture, you have to do what's called tempering. So you put a little of the hot into first the cornstarch mixture. So – because if you put it all in at the same time, it will seize up and make – not the texture you want. You won't get this. So you put slowly a little bit of the hot milk into the cornstarch slurry. And then when it's kind of mixed, then you can slowly mix it in and keep stirring over the double boiler. Okay. So you get the cornstarch in. Then it starts to thicken. And once it's thickened, you know, cornstarch has to cook maybe about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Then you do the same thing with the egg mixture. You pour a little of the hot mixture into the eggs and you keep going. And then eventually that all goes back into the pan.
Is this eggs as in egg yolks or the whole eggs?
The whole egg.
Whole eggs. That's easier.
But well beaten.
Well beaten.
Well beaten. You can put extra yolks in if you really want to be. Oh, in Nancy's recipe, she has three large egg yolks and one large egg. So the yolkier, the richer.
Yeah, I remember I seldom make pudding, but it's egg yolks, but that makes them nice and creamy. But eggs are nice just as eggs. That's good. Ha,
yeah.
Very good.
So then after the eggs have cooked a little bit, like two more minutes maybe, then you just pour in the vanilla. Mm-hmm. At the end, and you've got your pudding.
There it is.
That's it.
There it is.
And I had a little extra caramel, so I poured it over the pudding, and it was more like a creme brulee because my caramel was just the melted sugar with water, whereas Nancy's was a real caramel sauce with melting the sugar. Then you add heavy cream and some butter and, you know, oh my goodness, so much cream. And then some cream fraîche at the end.
Yeah. Okay. So she almost had a frosting.
You pour the pudding, then you pour the caramel over it. There's lovely pictures. Go look at it online.
give us the context for this. It's called Budino.
Right. Just go to, just Google Budino and Savour, S-A-V-E-U-R. It's the name of a magazine, or go on the Savour site and find it. They're very pretty little things. And if you have the nerve, like I didn't, to make the really fat version, it's so good. But you know what? The skinny version isn't too bad either.
Because I'm going to dip my little spoony poo right into this here.
Yes.
And see.
Okay. And the runny stuff on the top is the extra caramel that I poured on.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, it's, you know, draws water into it and melts.
Now, butterscotch is the sort of thing that you just might want to give to somebody you like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good idea for Valentine's Day. Here, I made you some pudding.
Have to say budino.
Oh, I made you some budino.
Pudding does not sound exotic enough, you know.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I mean, it has to be special for Valentine's Day.
Right.
Here, I made you a heart attack-inducing budino pudding.
Very, very lovely.
Mm.
Oh, thank you for bringing in the pudding.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Wonderful. Butterscotch. I forget about – I like that a lot, and I've never made butterscotch. So it can't be that hard.
It's actually not. You know, just the idea of melting the sugar. It's not a technique that we practice on a daily basis.
But we could. It's got it's humble beginnings to very fine results.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. I'd like to mention a little visit I had to a restaurant this past weekend. It was a snowy weekend, and I found myself in Grinnell, Iowa. Grinnell, Iowa, what a nice community.
Lovely little place.
Yeah, there's been a restaurant there for quite a while. It's called, now it's called Relish.
What did it used to be called?
Well, it has a great history. It was originally called the Phoenix. And it's been many decades. And believe it or not, it's run by the same people. They kind of, they worked hard and decided to maybe close it up. Had time to retire, but then people decided they were going to kind of put their efforts and energy and kind of buy in it. It's sort of a cooperative now.
Oh, by popular demand, it had to be kept open.
Popular demand.
Oh, my goodness. So
that's a good story. It has official community support now. Instead of being called the Phoenix, it's called Relish. But those of you who remember the Phoenix, it's the same good folks. It's the same good restaurant. It's in a big old house not too far from the Grinnell campus. Big yellow house.
So I'm translating that the man who ran the family, they got too old and they didn't want to do it?
No, not they just kind of needed a break because they're still doing it.
It's still
the same family. Chef Kamal is still there. Don't worry. He cooks up American, European, and especially Middle Eastern classics. It has an Egyptian theme of all things ending up in Grinnell, Iowa.
He's Egyptian?
Egyptian, yeah. Well. Or he was. That's his background. And he makes the greatest stuff. And even on their website, he kind of gives the hours and all that kind of thing. But there's a little note that says, we're always here. We live upstairs. The family lives upstairs in the house. They come down and cook. The house may be the floors may be a bit uneven. And it's a little older house, but the atmosphere is warm. It's welcoming. The service is excellent. I had a lovely lamb liver pate there to die for. And it's always good. And they had a Egyptian-style falafel served on a bed of greens called, I can't pronounce it, but it's T-A-accent-A-M-I-A, Tamiya. Boy, was that ever good. They have great kebabs, falafel, and they have local meat, local vegetables in season.
I'm envisioning a tour. We could, drive down to the Vietnamese restaurant.
Uh-huh, and
then we could go east and hit Grinnell just in time for the next meal.
Let's hit the road. That's called Relish, and you can find out more at relishgrinnell.com. You can find that. One thing that I really enjoy, I get there seldom, but I've been there over the years. And even though the name has changed, the first thing you notice when you step into the dining room, which is an old house, there's a fireplace there. Above the fireplace is a wonderful painting. It's a colorful modern take on an Egyptian princess, kind of a la hieroglyphics, Egyptian princess standing there with a camel and some palm trees, and she's playing the accordion. It just kind of sums the whole place up. It is a friendly, wonderful place.
Oh, boy.
So three
we
cheers.
We have some wonderful immigrants here in Iowa, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Love
three,
them, and they bring
three
good
cheers,
food.
Three cheers. And a restaurant that does celebrate local food. Yes, it does. That's great. Well, anything more about Vietnamese New Year happening, Felix?
What can we expect for the year of the dog? Everyone to be nice to each other?
Well, let's always do that. Aside from that, you can participate in Vietnamese New Year or Lunar New Year. Wear some red, wear some yellow. Those are very lucky colors.
Red and yellow. Those are the cyclone colors.
They are. So, right. Jones School Pride.
No problem.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Lucky colors. Let's do that.
Everybody in Ames, I'm sure, has some red and some yellow.
That's very good. You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. We've been talking about Lunar New Year, Vietnamese New Year. Donna had a sweets for your sweet. We talked about butterscotch pudding. Thanks to Felix Nguyen, our wonderful intern. Be nice to your Valentine and, as she says, be nice all year. We had music today by Ann Beeson and Ken Stephenson, a group of people lives in Minneapolis.
Yes, and we had Lun and Octagle. B. Robert Burns.
Oh, I tried real hard.
Wait a moment.
A few poems for us to listen to the Donalana Kitchen noon on Tuesdays, repeated Tuesday evening at 7, or anytime at khoifm.org. This is community radio. We are all in this together. My name is Lana Nachtigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
Excellent engineering by Cynthia McClurg. Eat good food. Enjoy life.